join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Let's Go Higher by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. 1 Corinthians 14, starting at verse 1, and I'm reading from the King James Version. Glory to God. 1 Kings 14, starting verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, unto edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. The first part of verse 4 is what I want to focus on. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Everyone say, let's go higher. Get somebody's attention, point at them and say, let's go higher. Let's go higher. Let's go higher. Let's go higher. So today is what we celebrate on the Christian calendar as Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost was 50 days after the Passover. It literally really was 49 days plus one day. And the term Pentecost is a Greek term meaning 50th. Okay. So long before there were Pentecostals and Pentecostal churches and Pentecostal denominations, and long before Azusa Street, and even long before the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts 2, there was Pentecost. And Pentecost was given as a feast day by God, as an ordinance to his people, and he told them to observe it. It's also known to the Jews as the Feast of Shavuot. Leviticus 23, 15 through 16, I'm reading New Living Translation, gives us the basis for them celebrating Pentecost. Leviticus 23, 15 and 16. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you bring the bundle of grain to be lifted up as a special offering, count off 7 full weeks. Count off 7 full weeks. Keeping count until the day after the seventh Sabbath, 50 days later. Then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. So God ordered it in Leviticus from the time of Moses for them to celebrate what they call Pentecost. So it was on this day that God chose to release the Holy Spirit into the earth realm. It wasn't Pentecost because they spoke in tongues. They spoke in tongues on Pentecost. Are y'all with me here? So after Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and even though he appeared to many of the disciples, still here for at least another 40 to 50 days after, he ascended into heaven, but he's no longer with his disciples physically here in the earth. And I'm sure many of them were worried. Many of them were concerned. Even though you know, just like even now, we many of us who are believers, we feel and we know that we sense that our parents who've gone on are with us, our spiritual leaders who have gone on, that some kind of way they're still with us, but it ain't quite the same. Amen. It's not quite the same of not being here physically with you. Many of the disciples, they were concerned. Some of them were probably still a little bit scared. They were confused. They were perplexed. They were uncertain about what they would do without Jesus being physically present with them. What are we going to do if another storm arises at sea? What are we going to do if we are preaching and people follow us all day and it's 5,000 people who are hungry? They just going to bum rush us. How are we going to feed 5,000? And all the things that Jesus did and they saw. I'm sure they're concerned about how are we going. We've gotten used to miracles. We've gotten used to nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lack. If I didn't have the money to pay taxes, Jesus told me, go down to the brook, catch a fish and open up the fish's mouth and the money for your taxes is going to be there. Where am I going to, when I get into crisis, what am I going to do now? How are we going to make it without Jesus being here on the earth? So while he was here on the earth, Jesus kept trying to give his disciples assurance and reassurance that they were going to be all right. Somebody say, we're going to be all right. You know, that's the first thing I started saying when the pandemic hit. All the more when churches, those of us who were prudent, shut our churches down. You need to understand, here in South Carolina, we always could have been having church. Okay, some of y'all would have said, I know, I see some of y'all faces. Yeah, you would have been having church. I know. No, you would be having church. You and your little skeleton crew. Okay. All the people you mentioned, y'all would have been having church. We didn't have to legally shut down. When we got ready to have our first, we did our original drive-up service. It was, I think, Easter last year. And I called our mayor. I called the mayor. I said, listen, I said, we're planning on having an outdoor service. He said, you know, because that time they were saying people, it was an ordinance that you, no more than so many people could gather together. He said, Bishop Bailey, he said, the truth of the matter, he said, everything we're saying has nothing to do with the church. He said, y'all can do whatever you want to do. He said, don't worry about it. Nobody's going to. And so I have colleagues who didn't shut down. They didn't shut down. But we thought it prudent to close our doors, at least temporarily. And big concern is, what's going to happen to the people? What's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to the vision? What's going to happen to the finances? What's going to happen to the staff? Because things have to go on. And I remember telling myself, we're going to be all right. One thing, again, I mentioned this earlier, and I don't say this with any kind of pride, is that I know the faithfulness of God, because whenever I think about that, where is something going to come from, I go back to the fact that I started this ministry, came to a city I had never been in before. Most people at least visit a place. I didn't even visit. Didn't have anybody here, as far as I knew, didn't know anybody here. And then I come here praying about a job, because my plan was my next promotion, 2 to 3 years, I'll go to Philadelphia and then I'll start a church in South Jersey. And I'm praying about the job. And the Lord says, start a ministry here. I said, oh, no. I'm not. South Carolina, Mississippi burning, same thing. In my mind, I'm not planning on staying here. No, no, no. I have no roots here in South Carolina. That was my, but I know what God said. And then when my employment ceased here, and the Lord told me do nothing else but ministry. Our church was 10 months old with about 20, 25 people. And the Lord told me do nothing else but ministry. And God since then has blessed my life beyond my wildest imagination and blessed this ministry beyond anything I ever seen. I know that God will take care of you. And I know that God will take care of his church. So I immediately start saying, we're going to be all right. From week to week, sometimes we didn't know what we're going to do. Service to service, we didn't know what we're going to do. But we said, we're going to be all right. And the key word for 2020 became pivot. Somebody say pivot. Pivot means you got to turn on a dime. Pivot means you got to be fluid. Pivot means I know you were planning on doing this, but that's not working right now. You got to change and do this. And Jesus was trying to get his disciples to know, y'all are going to be all right. So he gives them, I'm reading the scripture from New Living Translation, John 14:26. He tells them when the Father sends the advocate, New Living Translation used the word advocate. King James used the word comforter. The Greek word is paraclete or parakletos. It means literally one beside you, just like me. Now you need to understand, the Holy Ghost is not kind of like Jesus. The Holy Ghost is just like Jesus. Oh, come on now. He said, I'm going to send you somebody, not an understudy, because an understudy is somebody who got to step in because the main person wasn't working. The main person got sick. The person who originally got the cast for the part is not able to do it. No, the Holy Ghost is someone just like Jesus. The advocate as my representative, he said, that is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I told you. Why do you have to remind him? Because there's a lot of things Jesus was telling him at the time. It didn't make any sense. Later on, it's all going to come together. Okay. Any of y'all have parents tell you things that didn't make any sense. Now you grown, got your own kids. You say, oh, now I know why my mama said that. Sometimes you got to live a little longer. Bishop Bailey used to always say, boy, just keep on living. Just keep on living. I know you think you're so smart now, but keep on living. I heard Joseph Garlington, when he was here, he told a story. He said, young people think older people are stupid. He said, but older people know young people stupid. Keep on living. John 15:26-27, New Living Translation. It says, but I will send the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. And then John 16:7, New Living Translation. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Holy Ghost, the advocate, the comforter won't come. But if I do go away, I'll send him to you. Now, the disciples say, what? How is it can be better for us if you aren't here? If the Holy Ghost comes and you're no longer here? Because Jesus, while he was here on the earth physically, couldn't be every place at one time. If he could be every place at one time, Martha would not have got mad with him. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Then Jairus's daughter's caretakers would not have run to Jesus and said, don't even bother the master anymore because your daughter's dead, because he didn't get here in time. But now the Holy Ghost would be Jesus in all believers. Now the Holy Ghost would enable us to do what Jesus did. And not only that, Jesus said, greater works shall you do than these, because I'm going to the Father. So it was on the day of Pentecost that this promise that you're going to be all right came to manifestation. Acts 2:1-4, New Living Translation, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly, somebody say suddenly. I prophesied there's going to be more suddenlies we're going to see in this church. There are going to be more suddenlies of healing, more suddenlies of prosperity, more suddenlies of breakthrough, more suddenlies of salvation. Glory to God. I have a relative, and one of my relatives always said, man, I don't know how to say, he said, that's a hard machine to drive. That's a hard machine to drive. He calls the person a machine. And then on another way he said, that's a tough nut to crack. Some of y'all, you got some relatives who you've been trying to witness to and talk to. Man, that's a hard machine to drive and a tough nut to crack. But there's going to be some suddenlies. You want to be like, well, who? How? When? How they get? Who told you about Jesus? I've been telling you about. Don't worry about it. There's going to be some suddenlies. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Verse 4, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Ghost and began speaking in other tongues. Read that along with me again. Come on, read that loud. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Ghost and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Everyone. Now, reason why that's important, the King James says, and all present, or all were filled. Everyone. Everyone. That means exclusive of no one was not filled. And exclusive no one who did not speak in tongues. That's important because we have people debating in church today. Well, it ain't for everybody. Some people say, well, that ain't for me. Okay? Nobody in the upper room said it ain't for me. Because they were all filled. And there's a principle of biblical interpretation of hermeneutics, which is the study of biblical interpretation, called the law of first mention. The law of first mention says the way that something is first presented in the scriptures, the way that something is first said, or the context of it, gives us God's original intent for how it's supposed to be. Okay? So man was created without sin. That's how it's supposed to be. Okay? God created a woman to be with a man. That was how it's supposed to be. Y'all don't have to like it. I'm just telling you, the way something first appears in the scripture shows God's intent. And when we see the Holy Ghost came, all spoke. It is God's intention that all believers be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, why would Paul even be wishing it? He said, I wish all y'all spoke with tongues. I wish all y'all spoke. I wish all y'all would just receive the Holy Ghost. When Paul later comes to the coast of Ephesus and he finds a group of believers there, and he said, well, so they asked him, he said, well, have you received since you believe? They said, receive what? They said, the Holy Ghost. They said, the hokey what? We have the Holy of the Holy Ghost. We don't even know there be any Holy Ghost. And then he ministered them. He gave them the if you allow me to say, the John the Baptist to Christianity update, because they were only know about John the Baptist, that the Messiah was going to come. They say, oh, y'all, let me fill in the blank for it. He has come. He lived. He died. He was resurrected. He sent back the Holy Ghost, which is a gift for you. Now, do you want to receive him? And they all received, and they all spoke with tongues. And so everyone present was filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them this ability, or as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Acts 2 and 4, King James Version says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. One of the things we know that we are doing when we're speaking in tongues is testifying. Well, what's happening when we speak in tongues? Well, one of the things we know, we're testifying, or they were testifying, Acts 2. Verse 11 and 12. Now, by God, I'm saying, giving honor to God, the members, saints, and friends, visitors, if there be any. To mother so-and-so in her absence, that one always got to me. I'm like, well, if she's absent, why are we taking up the time? She wanted to be honored, right? She should have been here. No, it's not that kind of testimony. Acts 2, 11 and 12 says, when they heard them speaking, among them were Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They didn't know what they were saying, but the people who understood the tongue, the language, heard them speak what? The wonderful works of God. They heard them testifying about the goodness and the wonderful works of God. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? They were not in doubt that they were speaking in tongues. They were not in doubt that they had some type of genuine experience. They were in doubt about what it meant. Just like a lot of people come to church today. Well, what does it mean? And that's why I'm going to take some time to talk about what it means. Yet it was Paul who gave the Christian church even more revelation and understanding of the purpose and benefits of speaking in tongues. Okay. With that, I've asked our media department to pull up something that I saw many years ago. It was on Nightline. That there was a doctor who did a study about us Christians who speak in tongues. And I want y'all to see this.
Thanks for watching our internet edition of Nightline. I'm Martin Bashir. Today we examine the Christian practice of speaking in tongues. Those outside the church often say it's nothing more than gibberish, but some Christians claim that it's the purest form of prayer beyond the constraints of normal language. Nightline's Vicky Mabry reports on the science of speaking in tongues.
It is an ancient practice mentioned in the Bible. St. Paul called it speaking in the tongues of angels. Jesus' apostles were first said to do it at Pentecost. The technical term is glossolalia. Most people call it speaking in tongues.
There's a vast number of people out there that because they did not personally experience it or have been taught against it all their lives, there's no way they have an ability to embrace it. So that's common. We're still mocked and made fun of.
That's not stopping Pastor Jerry Stoltzfus or others in his congregation at the Freedom Valley Worship Center in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, from using what they say is a God-given gift.
It's almost as if I'm able to tap into God's heart and what he wants.
I get goosebumps, actually.
You can feel him all around you, and you can feel him speaking through the words that you're saying.
It almost sounds like a foreign language. But actually, those who speak in tongues are not saying anything in any known language.
With the gift of tongues, I can trust the Holy Spirit to figure out what needs to be healed. He will use what sounds like gibberish, like any other language sounds like gibberish. He will interpret that for his purposes and his uses.
We say things in our own English language, but speaking in tongues is a heavenly language that we're going to God and Jesus intercedes for us.
They say they have no control over what comes out of their mouths, that they're swept up in a rush of ecstatic religious feeling, and that the Holy Spirit is speaking through them.
Do you hear yourself?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I think I sound like a total idiot.
It's almost all in yellows and red here.
At the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Andrew Newberg is looking for an explanation for what most regard as unexplainable.
I mean, it's not language. It's not regular language, at least, that would normally activate the frontal lobe.
Newberg is exploring the relationship between faith and science, studying what happens in the brain during the deepest moments of faith.
If we're really going to look at this very, very powerful force in human history of religion and spirituality, I think we really have to take a look at how that affects our brain, what's changing or turning on or turning off in our brain.
They're going to go around very fast right now.
He's recently published a study of Americans speaking in tongues. Remarkably, he discovered that what's happening to them neurologically looks a lot like what they say is happening to them spiritually.
Make sure we got your whole head in there.
We asked Pastor Jerry Stoltzfus to come to the university to have his brain scanned while he speaks in tongues. This way, we could see the experiment in action.
I don't think faith is anything to be afraid of from science. Science validates faith. So bring it on. Whatever the facts are, bring it on.
Just go ahead and you can begin prayer.
First, he's told to pray in English.
Father, I pray for each of the family members involved in this study. Grant them what they are looking for in their personal lives. for their vision and their potential.
Then he's told to speak in tongues.
This is the first scan when he was in prayer, speaking in English. This is the second scan when he is praying in tongues.
Pastor Stoltzfus's scans show that his frontal lobe, the part of the brain that controls language, was active when he prayed in English. But for the most part, it fell quiet when he prayed in tongues.
When they're actually engaged in this whole very intense spiritual practice, religious practice for them, their frontal lobes tend to go down in activity. But I think it's very consistent with the kind of experience that they have, because they say that they're not in charge. It's the voice of God, it's the Spirit of God that's moving through them.
Dr. Newberg says the results were even more dramatic
Paul
on subjects who were scanned without a Nightline crew in the
tongues,
room.
My spirit prays. My understanding is unfruitful. That was for all the Thomases among us. And all the Thomases watching online. I need to see something. There's a study there for those of you who need to see something. Y'all know science doesn't prove faith. Faith proves science. Okay? And so, Paul said, when we pray in the Spirit, which is what I'm going to get into here, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful, my spirit prays, it's not your mind that's involved. And that's why some people never speak. Because you're so smart. You're so smart. You got to figure everything out. When you stop thinking about yourself and get beyond yourself and what other people think and let God do what he wants to do with you and go beyond your understanding, you can be and do everything and anything God wants you to do.
Praying in the Holy Ghost is a way and a means to build ourselves up to take us higher. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, God will give you strategy for everything. In this message, Bishop Bailey explains the importance of spending time with God and having a heavenly language. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.